Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we're going to be doing our third and final session in a three-part series that we titled The Two Resurrections and Their Associated Judgments. Now, Revelation 20, verse 5 reveals that there is a considerable amount of time between the two resurrections. According to Revelation chapter 20, that period of time is 1,000 years. That this is not unusual is demonstrated by what the Bible teaches concerning the first resurrection, where Christ, the first fruits, we see that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, and the rapture, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23 also, are themselves separated by almost 2,000 years now. Note what the Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 5, and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. Revelation 20, verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. This is the first resurrection. Then we've got 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. So when we use the expression in Revelation chapter 20 and refer to that particular resurrection as the first resurrection, it logically follows from that there must be at least two resurrections. Well, from the Bible, we can identify that there are exactly two different types of resurrections. They're called the first resurrection and the second resurrection. The first resurrection, all events within it are resurrection unto eternal life in heaven. And the second resurrection is a resurrection unto eternal death in the fires of the lake of fire in hell. So earlier in this series, and we're going to reread these verses again, we have documented that there are three different passages of Scripture that set up, or identify, I should say, a twofold resurrection. And those passages of Scripture, again, are Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, and Acts chapter 24, verse 15. In the Daniel chapter 2, we have the first resurrection part of it given in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, where we have phase of it being to everlasting life, and then the next type of that one is to everlasting contempt. Now, in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, the Lord Jesus Christ identified the first resurrection as being a resurrection unto life, but he also talked in that same passage of Scripture about a resurrection unto damnation. And then finally, in Acts chapter 24, verse 15, we see the first resurrection identified as a resurrection of the just. Those are the ones that are saved. And then we have also in that passage of Scripture, the resurrection of the unjust, and that is those that are saved. Again, all three passages talk about two different types of resurrections. Daniel 12, verse 2 reads this way, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Next up, we've got John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Again, that is John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Next up, Acts chapter 24, verse 15. "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." So once again, it's identified in that passage of Scripture. Now, that second resurrection, the judgment that is associated with one of the judgments that's associated with the second resurrection is the great white throne judgment. The second resurrection is coincidental with the judgment of that great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. All of the wicked dead will stand before God at a literal judgment after a literal resurrection. And we see that in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 20. Now let's go and read Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Now, when we speak of the resurrection, after spending up to thousands of years in the torments of hell, every man, woman, and child of years gone by will be brought before the Creator and Judge. This resurrection, and we're talking about the great white throne now, this resurrection involves two things, a body. The sea will give up its dead. And we see that in verse 13, and it talks of death, and we're talking there about a physical dying that is personified in both 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, and also Revelation 20, verse 13. Verse 55 of 1 Corinthians 15 states this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. We can only assume that these second resurrection bodies will be of a corruptible nature. There is no promise of a glorified body given to the lost, to the wicked dead, to those that are going to spend an eternity in hell. They will have a corruptible body. And they also, in that resurrection, will have a reunited soul and spirit. And they will, in hell, will also give up its dead, and this refers to those in the same condition as the rich man in Luke chapter 16. It was his soul and spirit which woke up in hell. His body received a funeral, no doubt a lavish funeral too, folks. At the end of the judgment, death and hell, i.e. all of the unsaved, will be cast into the everlasting, unquenchable lake of fire. We will quote you some passages of scripture from Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46, and Matthew 3, verse 12, and Revelation 20, verse 15. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Then in verse 46 it says this, And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Again, that's Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 and 46. Next up we have Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, again we have this, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, the judgment of the great white throne will take place at the end of the millennium. We see that documented in Revelation chapter 20, Also Revelation 21:1, we're going to go and look at several passages of scripture now. We know that the judgment takes place after the millennial kingdom of Christ. We also know that it takes place after the final rebellion of the nations. We see that again in Revelation chapter 20 in verses 8 through 10. And also, this judgment takes place after the dissolution of the present creation. We see that in Revelation 20, verse 11, Revelation 21, 1, and also in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, where the Bible states this. Starting in verse 7 of Revelation 20. And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that had deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And then in Revelation 21:1, we've got this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall be melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12 is up next. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, where is the place of judgment? We talked about the time of the judgment. The place of the judgment, exactly where, we are not told. Not within the confines of the atmospheric or stellar heavens, nor on the earth, because we see that they had fled away in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. The judge who's sitting in the judgment seat, who will that be, folks? It will be the Lord Jesus Christ. John 5, verse 22, Acts chapter 17, verse 31, and Romans 2, verse 16 state that. Not one sinner will be able to look him in the eye and claim that no one loved them, that no one cared for them, or that the way of escape was not provided for them. We read the following, folks, in John 5, verse 22, Acts 17, verse 31, and Romans chapter 2, verse 16. John 5, verse 22, For the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son. That Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. That is God, once again, committing the judgment unto God the Father, committing the judgment unto God the Son. And then we got Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Read that again. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And then who are going to be the defendants in this particular judgment that takes place at the great white throne judgment? It is the dead, folks. Revelation 20:12 states that. These would be the rest of the dead that are identified in Revelation 20, verse 5. In other words, those who missed out on the first resurrection because of their unsaved, unregenerate condition. We hear it again in Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, and also in verse 12, where the Bible says this, verse 5, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." Verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Again, that's Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and verses 12. Now, what will be the nature of the judgment that takes place at the great white throne judgment? At this great day of judgment, the books will be open. We see that in Revelation 20, verse 12. These books will no doubt include the book of God from John 12, verse 48, which states this, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." We will also have the Lamb's Book of Life from Revelation 20, verse 12 and 15, and also from Revelation 21, verse 27. Again, the verses in Revelation 12, Revelation 20 state this, verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Next up, verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Next, we have Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." The next book that will be brought up will be the book of works, which is identified again in Revelation 20, verse 12. And then we'll have also the book of words, which we see from Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, which says the following, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Then we'll have the book of excuses that will be opened up. That will be Luke chapter 14, verse 18, and Luke chapter 19, verse 22. And the Bible states this in Luke 14, verse 18, "And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." Then we have this in Luke 19, verse 22, "And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow." Next up, we have the book of conscience. We see that in Romans chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit." And then we'll have also the book of memory will come up. That would be in Luke 16, verse 25, where the rich man is in the pits of hell. Verse 25 says this, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." He's bringing back to mind, back into his memory, all of those times, all of those opportunities that he had. We'll also have the book of nature in Luke chapter 19, verse 40. "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that, if these should hold their peace, the stones would cry out." And then we have the book of history in Matthew chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. So we see in all of this that every lost person will have their day in court. They will receive a fair trial. The problem is all are guilty and condemned already because of the one sin God is unable to forgive. That one sin is identified in John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, the purpose of the great white throne judgment is not to determine eligibility for heaven or hell, but to determine degrees of everlasting punishment depending on works. The issue of the salvation of that soul was settled before they passed on, folks. There are no second chances. There is no purgatory. The Bible states the following in Matthew 23, verse 14, Romans 2, 6, and in Matthew 11, verses 20 through 24. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Note the degrees that are given there. There'll be a greater damnation for different folks. And then in Romans chapter 2 says that who will render to every man according to his deeds. That is a judgment that's talked about. And they're judged based upon what? Upon their deeds. Next up, we have a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than for you. Notice the difference in the Greek. The judgment is going to be harsher on those two cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida. Verse 23, And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. What a statement, folks. Next up, verse 24. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And I say it again, folks, what a comparison. And what we're talking about here is that there will be different degrees of punishment for unsaved people, and it will be according to their deeds and their works. That's how they're going to be judged, and that's how their punishment is going to be meted out also. And what is the outcome of that judgment? The saddest words that will ever be spoken: I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7, verse 23 says this, And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And if you know anything about that passage of scripture, Matthew chapter 7, you know that it's talking about religious works. And people coming before him and talking about all the religious works that they done. Well, he rejects them because they're unsaved. Next up, we have Luke chapter 13, verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Again, that's Luke 13, verse 27. Now, there is no hint given in the Bible that people will recognize one another in the awful place called hell. The presence of God will be absent. The only known company will be Satan, the man of sin, the false prophet, and the angels that sinned, along with the beast. He's going to be there also. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 states this, Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That again is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9. And what, folks, is the punishment for the unsaved? The lake of fire. And it is described as everlasting in nature. The lake of fire, we see it in Matthew chapter 18 verse 8, Matthew 25 verse 41, verse 46. We see it in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, Jude 13, Revelation 14 verse 11, Revelation 19 verse 3, Revelation 20 verse 10. Let's go and read those. We're talking about hell, the everlasting fires of the lake of fire being the punishment for those who appear at the great white throne judgment. Matthew 18 verse 8. Wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Matthew 21 verses 41 and 46. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Jude 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Revelation 14, verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Revelation 19, verse 3, and again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Again, that's Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the nature of the punishment also, we've seen it time and again in these passages of Scripture that we have. It is a burning. They will burn forever. The word Gehenna that's used in the New Testament is an Aramaic form of the Hebrew word Gehinnom, which refers to the Valley of Hinnom. And if you've read your Old Testament, you know that that alludes to the ever-burning garbage dump outside of Jerusalem, which also was used for pagan ritual of burning children alive. The Valley of Hinnom is described by the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 10, and also in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 31, where we see the following words. 2 Kings 23, verse 10, and he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. Folks, if you you know anything about the judgment that came upon the nation of Israel and also upon Judah because of the issue of them sacrificing their children to the devils, and one of them was Molech, you'll know that America has put herself in the same position by the over 70 million babies that she has murdered through abortion. Next up, Jeremiah 7, verse 31, and they built the high places of Topheth, there it is again, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Listen at this again, folks, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. That's Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 31. The lake of fire is God's eternal garbage dump. We see that in Luke 12, verse 5, and also in Mark chapter 9, verses 47 and 48. Those passages state this, Luke 12, verse 5, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath both power to cast into hell. Yea, I will say unto you, fear him. Next up we have Mark chapter 9, verses 47 and 48. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Okay. Also, their place of punishment is totally dark. That darkness is described as follows in Jude 13 and also in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Jude 13 puts it this way. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Next up is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So, we're going to take a look at both the Great White Throne Judgment and the Throne of Glory Judgment. We're going to contrast those two because a lot of times they are equated one with the other, and they are different, folks. Those who teach a general resurrection equate the judgment of Revelation 20 with that of Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Not a few have preached from Matthew 25 to teach that entrance into heaven's glory will not be decided until the last great day of judgment. Now, folks, these are two distinct judgments when we start looking at Matthew 25 and also at Revelation 20. And here are the contrasts that are set up. The throne of glory that is identified in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, occurs after Christ returned. And we're going to go and read that passage of Scripture in just a minute. But it occurs after Christ returned. The great white throne judgment occurs after the millennium, two entirely different time periods. The throne of glory judgment is where the living nations are judged. And the great white throne judgment is where the wicked dead are judged. And then on the throne of glory is on the earth. And then the great white throne judgment, the earth has been dissolved when that particular judgment takes place. In the throne of glory judgment, no books are consulted. In the great white throne judgment, books are opened. In the throne of glory judgment, there are two classes of subjects. And in the great white throne judgment, only the wicked dead are judged. In the throne of glory judgment, the basis is the treatment of the Jews. And you need to go and read that and study it. If you're an anti-Semite or if you've been taught to hate the Jew or hate the nation of Israel, you better go and look at that. So the throne of glory judgment is based upon the treatment of the Jews. The great white throne judgment is based on the name of the individual not being in the book of life. The throne of glory judgment decides entrance into kingdom for some. The great white throne judgment describes the entrance into lake of fire for all who appear at that judgment. All of the unsaved. That's what that's all about. So let's go and read both of those passages of Scripture again. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, When saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Emphasize, unto the least of these my brethren. Who are the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Jews. He goes on to say, that ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That's Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Now, everything that I just read in that particular passage of Scripture is identified with the throne of glory. And we just done a quick comparison between between the throne of glory and the great white throne judgment. So Matthew chapter 25 talks about the throne of glory. And next up, we're going to be talking about the great white throne judgment. At the throne of glory, we're talking about nations. At the great white throne, we're talking about individuals. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, which is a description of the great white throne judgment. And if you take those two passages of Scripture and beat one against the other, you can see that they are entirely different. And any doctrine that tries to make them the same is not supported in Scripture. In fact, it's a heresy that's pushed, and much of it is pushed to try to persecute the Jew and persecute the nation of Israel. Now, some may argue that these two judgments are one and the same based upon the absolute finality of the outcome. Everlasting fire, and then we've got punishment and life eternal in verses 41 through 46. However, hell, as it is right now, can be considered as everlasting because there is no escape. We see that from Luke chapter 16, verse 26, and also because it and all its contents will eventually be cast into the lake of fire. We see that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, where both death and hell are taken up and cast into the lake of fire. Furthermore, the new birth and its resultant life eternal, Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, is the unchanging qualification for any man to enter the kingdom, whether it be in the present form or the kingdom of God or the millennial kingdom of God. Now, and by the way, we want to emphasize again that is a place where no one can escape out of. They'll be there forever and ever and ever. Luke 16, verse 26, which we just stated. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So there's no way out of it. There's no purgatory. You need to be ready for that judgment. And the only way you'll be ready for that judgment is if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, next up, we're in the final thing that we're going to deal with in this particular series on the two resurrections and their associated judgment is we're going to talk about the judgment of angels. Now, we assume the judgment of angels immediately precedes or coincides with the great white throne judgment based on the context of Revelation chapter 7, verses 7 through 10. We've read this a number of times, but we're going to read it again. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That again is Revelation chapter 20, verse 17. The judgment of the angels that sinned in Satan's pre-Genesis 3 rebellion is declared in Jude verse 6 and in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Evidently, church members will take part in this judgment according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Now, Jude 6 says this, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day." So that's the judgment of the angels, the wicked angels that's going to take place. And then, again, we've got 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, which states this, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." So that, once again, is those wicked angels that have been bound for, I don't know how many years have been bound, but for a very long time. And then, finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, we have this, "Know ye not that we," talking about church people, talking about saved folk, not just church people, but saved church folk, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Again, that's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. And we'll close with this comment here. Contrary to popular opinion, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 is the very first time Satan is mentioned as being in hell. Now, I want to thank you for joining us in this three-part series that we have done on the two resurrections and the judgments that are associated with them. And again, I would encourage you to go to our website and download the document that this particular series is based upon. And we also have the audio uploaded there. Thank you for joining us.